I think it's great to love our neighborhood. We're going to tell a Christmas story tonight. Actually, we're not telling a Christmas story. We're telling the Christmas story. A Christmas Story is a movie that was made in 1983 about a family in the Midwest. And if you've been around our church for the last few weeks, you've heard that your pastor, Tim Clark, is a Christmas movie and story connoisseur. Okay, I really am. I'm a great connoisseur of Christmas movies and stories. I love Christmas stories. I love stories that interact with something around this idea of Christmas. And of course, I love the ones that are sacred and that tell the direct story of the nativity or tell the direct story of Jesus coming. But I love stories that celebrate the idea of the spirit of Christmas. I love stories like A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens. Anybody like that one? Okay. Which one? There's like 120 of them. Okay. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff from Muppets to Mr. Magoo, you know, A Christmas Carol. I love It's a Wonderful Life by Frank Capra. That's one of my favorite movies of all time. Miracle on 34th Street. Elf, right? It's what we watch when we decorate our tree. White Christmas, Family Man, Arthur Christmas, The Nativity, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, Little Drummer Boy. I could go on and on. Some people even add to their favorite Christmas movies. I don't believe it, but they do. Die Hard. I just explain as much as I can. Just because it happened at Christmas doesn't make it a Christmas movie, okay? But they argue with me, and that's okay. Listen, I do love all kinds of Christmas movies. In fact, I bet you love maybe not a movie but a story. Why don't you tell somebody next to you your favorite Christmas film or your favorite Christmas story? Do that right now, okay? Your favorite Christmas movie. Okay. I can hear some of you. Yep. A new movie called The Star came out this year. Christmas movie, great. Okay. All right. This morning somebody said, well, Die Hard is a great Christmas movie, so is Lethal Weapon. I'm like, no. No. Just because it happened at Christmas. But I did hear somebody just now say A Christmas Story, your favorite movie, and though I talked about it just now, your favorite movie happens to be A Christmas Story. And that reminds me, actually, because of what the story is about, that reminds me that we have a gift to give to a couple of kids from a family today, and we chose them specially, and Deborah's going to help me. It's Levi and Austin. Levi and Austin, are you in here, Summer? Gonzalez, Levi and Austin. Guys, come on up. No, there's stairs right over here. Right here. Okay, good. Look at that. Okay, I feel like I'm seeing double right now. Oh my goodness. Come here, you guys.
But they are not twins. Right.
They're not twins. Wow. Amazing. Which one's Levi and which one's Austin?
Levi,
and you're Austin? Okay, you guys get in front of me because people want to see you. You're way cuter than I am, okay? Right here. What? Okay, right here. And Levi, you're going to have to help me with this one. Levi, which one? Okay, right here. And Austin?
Austin, you come right over here.
Guys, hey, what are you?
How old are you guys?
I'm nine. I'm seven.
Okay, and what do you guys want for Christmas?
The one thing I want is, what's it called again? A Nintendo Switch.
Okay, and what about you? What do you want for Christmas?
Ninjago stuff.
Ninjago stuff? Oh, you guys are going to be so excited.
Open these presents.
These are going to be great. Open these presents. Come on. This is great. I'm so excited. I love this. This is great. Oh, wait. Don't open too quick. I want you guys to kind of get it together, all right?
You don't want to ruin the together. Surprise for your brother.
And really, honestly, the paper doesn't matter.
We do not save the paper around here. Not when Tim's in the house.
No.
Rip it up.
That's right. Okay, here we go. Okay, great. What did we get? What did you get for Christmas? Socks! Wow! Socks! Wait, what did you get?
He needs help opening.
You need help here?
Box.
Let me help you out a little bit.
Okay. Nope, other side.
I don't know. My wife wraps presents really good. Okay, what did you get for Christmas?
Socks!
That's amazing!
But
Merry Christmas, you guys!
Not just any socks. Oh. They're football and soccer and baseball socks. These are really cool.
Hey, give me five, can you?
It's better than a Switch.
Give me five, all right? All right, you guys can go back to your parents, all right? Merry Christmas, you guys. That was great. Wow. Okay, Deborah, you're going to help me clean that up. Here, I'll take the microphone. Thank you. All right. Well, here you go. Okay, so I want to know from you how many, guys, that was great. Don't worry, we set them up. We let them know about this ahead of time, didn't we? We didn't let you. You didn't know about this ahead of time? Oh, I'm so sorry, guys. That's so disappointing. How many of you have ever gotten so excited about something you were going to get for Christmas and you ended up getting socks? You know what I'm saying? You're like, I can't wait. This is such a beautiful package. It's wonderful. And you tear into it. Our youth pastors, our high school pastors, we have other youth pastors too, middle school pastors. You guys are much better, I'm telling you right now in front of everybody, because what we got from our high school pastors was this beautifully wrapped package with this really wonderful bow. And they said, don't wait and open it in front of your whole family. You're all going to want to see this. So we waited and we gathered around it and we opened the package carefully and we opened it up to two boxes of LaCroix sparkling water. Wow, it's almost as bad as socks, okay? But it reminds me of the Christmas story, this movie that I was talking about that our theme this year is based on. And it revolves around a 9-year-old, and this 9-year-old's name is Ralphie Parker. And his every waking desire, Ralphie Parker wants, his whole life, his whole year is all about wanting something very specific. And I'm going to have to read it because I can't remember all the words, but he wants a Red Ryder carbine action 200 shot range model air rifle. In other words, a BB gun. It takes place in the 40s, and he's wanting a BB gun, and his dad and his mom and his teachers and even, yes, Santa Claus at the mall all tell him, you don't want a BB gun, kid, because why? You'll shoot your eye out, kid. Even Santa says it. You'll shoot your eye out. And toward the end of the movie on Christmas morning, they're going into their presents, and they're opening the presents, and the dad and mom are sitting there, and all the kids are, and you're thinking, Ralphie's going to open this BB gun because he's wanted it for so long. And they open all the presents, and there's no BB gun, and he tries his best to hide his disappointment, kind of like you guys just now. Just you tried your best to hide your disappointment, but he sat there, and his dad said, "Ralphie, did you get everything you wanted for Christmas?" And he said, "I'm not everything, but that's okay. I'm thankful. I'm happy." And we skip a few beats, and then his dad says, "Well, what about that package behind the desk? You missed something back there." And he goes back there and he opens a cylindrical package, and to nobody's understanding, the mom didn't know, nobody else knew, the dad had secretly gone out and bought Ralphie his Red Ryder BB gun. And I'm not even a really big fan of the movie, to tell you the truth, but the best part about this movie, the single best part, was watching the dad's face when Ralphie opens up the BB gun and he takes it out, and the dad is so joyful because he knew that he got his son exactly what he had always wanted. And then now I remember. Now I remember. Wait, we've got another present, Austin, Levi. There's actually another, he just said, yay, yeah. You guys, come back up here real quick. I got something else for you. Come here. Here we go. Whoa, careful there, buddy. Whoa.
So excited.
Wow. Okay, that says Austin and Levi. I think it's you guys again, so why don't you open it together?
Just pull the string like a bow. It'll just come in. There you go.
What is it? Come on. Yeah, shoes to go with the socks. Yeah.
Shoes.
But just one shoe each, because you guys are about the same, so you should share them. What do we got in there, guys?
Nothing.
Nothing?
Wait, what?
You're going to Disneyland. What? 4 tickets for you and your family. Guys, you're going to Disneyland.
Yay.
All right, now can
better
I get 5 again?
Socks.
Yeah, woo. Yeah. Was that better than socks?
Yeah, way better.
Way better. All right, go ahead. You guys can go back to your family. Oh, that's the best, right? Wow. By the way, thank you so much for your help, by the way. You're going to Disneyland, and we're going to go ahead and give you a little bit of cash to cover parking, because I think parking at Disneyland is like $1,000 now. And so it's not really kind to give you tickets without making sure that we cover your parking as well. That was amazing. That was just like a Christmas story, right? I loved that movie because of that moment. But I love all these Christmas movies. But really, my very favorite Christmas movie of all time, bar none, absolutely, hands down, is A Charlie Brown Christmas Story. A Charlie Brown Christmas is my favorite. It's my very favorite. Charlie Brown is overwhelmed with the ups and the downs of Christmas, the excitement and the trees and the lights and the presents and everything he has to do. In fact, he's asked to be the director of the Christmas play, and he doesn't even know how to direct. He doesn't know how to choose a tree. And finally, in just anguish, He cries out at one point, "Isn't there anybody that can tell me what Christmas is all about?" And of course, Linus stops the whole scene. And he asks for a light to be put on him. And he tells Charlie Brown, and by the way, the whole world that's been watching this Christmas special for 52 years, every year it's on TV, one of the highest rated shows ever on television. And Linus tells the Christmas story out of Luke. The Christmas story. Now, that isn't just a Christmas story. That's the Christmas story. And the Christmas story is the most epic story you could ever imagine. It's the story of the love of God revealed in Jesus. It's so compelling that it's been told not just for 52 years on network television, but for thousands and thousands of years, people have been telling this story, this true story, even in places you wouldn't expect. In fact, every year at Disneyland on the first weekend of December, they have a Christmas candlelight service in the middle of town square. And this year, Chris Hemsworth read the Christmas story. Chris Hemsworth, yeah, Thor himself, right. He read the Christmas story. You hear the Christmas story all kinds of places that you would never, ever expect to hear it. This is the story we return to year after year after year after year. But it's not a made-up story the way a good Christmas movie is. Listen, great Christmas movies are a lot of fun because they touch your heart and they make you happy and warm. But we know that they're all made up. Some writer wrote it. Some great writer pulled on our heartstrings, maybe makes us cry a little bit. But they're made up. Maybe at best they're based on a true story. But this Christmas story, the Christmas story, isn't made up and it's not based on a true story. It's a wonderful, beautiful, messy, human true story about a perfect God. It's about humans that are messed up, but it's about a perfect God who's not messed up, intervening into our broken world to make it all right. Ultimately, this is a love story, but it's not just a love story. This is the love story. Say those words with me. The love story. Say it again. The love story. It's the ultimate story about love because God is love. And God's love was personified fully in Jesus. The coming of Jesus as a human being is the greatest love story there ever was or there ever will be. Love himself became a human being so that he could love us and save us from our own brokenness, from our own darkness, from our own sin. In fact, this love story is about a father who not only a perfect father, who not only gave us what we always wanted for Christmas, but he gave us what he knew we always deeply and desperately needed for Christmas. And that gift that God gave us was the gift of life. Life. Eternal life. And eternal life, not just when we die and we go to heaven. That's eternal life too. But this kind of eternal life is the kind of life that when we receive it, we start living in right now. The fullness of life that God created us for, that we moved away from when we turned our back on God, that we moved away from when we embraced brokenness and sin. God says, I'm going to figure out a way to bring you this life again. The thriving life that you were created to live in. And so Jesus, who was the personification of love, who was life itself, who was the light of the world, came to love us, to offer us a perfect gift if we'd only receive it. Here's the story. The death that we all experience and the brokenness we all feel, because we all feel brokenness on the very deep inside of us if we admit it, we do. And we all know that someday, unless the Lord comes back and it all gets taken care of before then, someday we're all going to die. The death we experience and the brokenness we feel is because we're disconnected from the source of love and life. And that's what rebellion against God did. It took us away from God. It separated us from life, the source of life. And when you're separated from the source of life, the result is death. So Jesus, who it created us to live and truly thrive. And here's, we chose death, and God himself came and said, I'll die that death for you on a cross. If you will come to me and believe in me, if you'll turn from your own way, if you'll turn from your own willfulness, and you'll embrace what I have for you and what I did for you on the cross, then I'm going to give you the resurrection life that I proved that I have when I rose from the grave 3 days later. That is how the story started. And how the story ends is a group of people, a bunch of people, a kingdom full of people who say yes to the Lord, who let him fill our lives and who start following him the way he created us to, full of life, full of love, full of light. This is the most epic, greatest story that you could ever imagine. It's a story that lasts for eternity. And it's a story that really gets its start at Christmas, at least the human part of the story, when the dawn of redeeming grace came down to become human so that he could love us and invite us into a relationship with God. Here's what we're going to do tonight. I'm not going to preach a whole lot more. We're going to tell the story. Because I think that just hearing the story of Christmas from the Bible will do something to our hearts. It'll change us. And I'm going to invite a young couple from our church, Marcus and Christina Mitchell. They're going to come out and they're going to read the story. They're going to read it from Luke. They're going to read it from Matthew. And their names aren't Mary and Joseph, but Christina, I think you are due in a few weeks, aren't you? We don't have a manger for you. I'm sorry. We may not have angels and stars, but you guys get to read this story. Maybe you read this story every year to your family at Christmas time. Maybe you've never done it before. But we're going to just take a few minutes and get comfy and read the greatest love story ever told, the greatest gift ever given. We're going to read the Christmas story. And if you know it, I want to tell you, let it be a reminder. Let it remind you what God did for you when he came to earth. If you don't know it and you've never heard it, I want you to listen carefully, because within this story are the seeds of the good news of Jesus Christ coming. Let's listen together.
In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I am a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month, for the word of God will never fail." Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her.
This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother, Mary, was engaged to be married to Joseph, but before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly, but he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. "Joseph, son of David," the angel said, "do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. "Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us." When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife. But he did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born.
At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for this census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged, who was now expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no lodging available for them. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph. And there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished, but Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them.
So Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him." King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of religious law and asked, "Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?" "In Bethlehem in Judea," they said, "for this is what the prophet wrote. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah, for a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd for my people Israel." Then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men and learned from them the time when the star first appeared. Then he told them, "Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child. And when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him too." After this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasure chest and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh.